Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Insider Podcast on NBCSportsCalifornia.com. Introducing your host, Oakland Raiders Insider, Scott Baer.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 14 of the Raiders Insider Podcast. I'm your host, NBC Sports California Raiders Insider, and along with me is my pal, Fallon Smith, here to talk about Sunday's game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And after that, we're going to have an exclusive one-on-one with former Raiders running back, former Concord De La Salle alum.
Former
UCLA alum. Woo-hoo. Like the two of us, yeah. Maurice Jones-Drew. Very excited about that. He's going to have some great insight on Marshawn Lynch, how he's able to keep it going, and what the realistic chances are about the Raiders possibly making the playoffs. So, Fallon, let's start right there then.
Okay.
The Raiders are 6-6. So are the Chargers, yeah, and the Chiefs, somehow. After all this disappointment over the first three quarters of the season, mm-hmm, the Raiders are right in the thick of this thing. Yeah. But just because they're here, because they've gotten some help from other teams, they still need to go on a bit of a run. Let's just make it simple. Can they do it?
Okay, well, when they have had chances to make something happen, they haven't done it. And I'm just talking about, you know, let's say after that Kansas City game, and then they had a chance to make some noise, and they dropped the ball, dropped the ball against the Bills. Then they beat, you know, a Dolphins team, and then got killed by the Patriots, you know. So it's kind of like, who is this team? But they're finally on a run. They're on a two-game winning streak. They've won two straight for the first time since starting the season, 2-0.
Which is just insane.
Insane. And so it was funny. Today I asked Bruce Irvin. By the way, he's my sit-down interview for this week's Raider Central. And I asked him, if someone was to tell you that 6-6 was good enough to lead this division, you know, in the beginning of this season, if someone was to tell him that, would he have believed it? And he goes, heck no. Because as we all know, the AFC West was supposed to be the toughest and best division in the National Football League. And now, no disrespect, but it's the new AFC South.
It is. And it's weird because there is a lot of talent on all of these teams, yeah, but they just haven't been performing consistently enough to be able to really kind of take control of things. That's how Kansas City started. That's not how they've finished. They've lost,
Four straight, six
of the last seven. But, and they're heading into Sunday's game, which is as big of a game as there has been in the Jack Del Rio era. Mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of playoff scenarios, we won't bore you with all the math, but basically, if they win in Kansas City and then in LA to wrap up the season, they only need to split against Philadelphia and Dallas to win the division. So,
and all this is possible.
All this is very possible, but it's all contingent on going to Kansas City, yeah, a place where they haven't won since 2012, mm-hmm, a place where Jack Del Rio hasn't done well, Derek Carr has not done well. That environment is hostile, and the weather should be better, but I still think this is going to be a difficult place for them to play. I know Kansas City's on a skid. They still have a lot of firepower.
They definitely do, but here's the thing. Everything is aligning in a positive way for the Raiders, right? They're 6-6 because they gotten help. They've received help. And the Chiefs are on a four-game losing streak. And now the Chiefs are playing without their best corner, Marcus Peters. So now it's like Derek Carr and company, look, you may not have Amari Cooper, but guess what? You're getting back Michael Crabtree, and you have all these other weapons at your disposal. And the Chiefs have not been good at all stopping the run. So you got Marshawn Lynch. Hopefully he goes beast mode once again for the second straight week. You have a chance. The offense, this is up to the offense. It's not up to the defense. Look, Alex Smith, he's going to put up points like he did against the Jets. It still wasn't good enough to win that game. This defense just needs to do its job and do enough to keep the offense still in, you know, in the football game. And it's up to Derek Carr and company to put up points and win this football game, which they can. And if they're going to do it, it's going to start with number four.
Yeah, and I think it's time. This is the type of game where you earn your massive paycheck.
Yep.
And I can't think of many games, maybe outside of the Kansas City game in week seven, where he's really been like a true MVP caliber player.
Exactly.
So this is an opportunity for him to do that. And you're right, no matter who, Tom Brady's always good at making adequate receivers look amazing.
Yeah.
And this is the time for Derek Carr to step up and do those types of things, even if the running game gets going. I think a key component is the offensive line, which is getting better. Donald Penn was fantastic the other day, just basically saying, we didn't reinvent the wheel. We just stuck to our process. And that's an important thing because over the last couple of games, the defense has kind of been a saving grace, getting Navarro Bowman had an interception in the end zone 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Last week they had two takeaways inside the 30.
They've had eight sacks in two games.
Exactly. This pass rush is ramping up.
Yeah.
What is the difference there?
Well, the disguises.
Right.
That number one. And to play devil's advocate, I could say, you know, oh, yeah, they look great. But guess what? They played Paxton Lynch, and they've also played Geno Smith. And both of those teams had very suspect offensive lines. So this is going to be the test to see if this defense has really improved under John Pagano. And I think, for one, you always want Khalil Mack and, you know, Bruce Irvin to have big games, and they have. The key for this game against the Kansas City Chiefs is limiting those big plays, especially on third and long, on third down period, because you already know Tyreek Hill can get it could be third and 25 after a couple of, you know, penalties, and all of a sudden Tyreek Hill goes for 60-something yards. You know what I mean? They throw it up to him, and he makes something out of it. But and Travis Kelce. So for the defense, like I said, I still think it's going to be on the offense, but when it comes to the defense, if they can limit plays, limit big plays on Sunday, this team's going to have a chance. But, you know, and then back to the point that you said about Derek Carr. Look, Khalil Mack has to earn his paycheck.
Right.
He's about to get paid this offseason. He needs to take over games. And we've said this for like how many straight weeks? It's kind of, you know, old hat or whatever, and it's probably, you know, annoying, but it's true. He needs to step up and continue to dominate football games. And when I asked Bruce Irvin, you know, what's been the big difference? And he actually said, which was really cool. He said, you know what, after Ken Norton Jr. was fired, I think it really sparked something within us too, because we felt like, you know, maybe it was our fault. We felt responsible for why he was fired because we didn't produce, we didn't execute. And I think that maybe we had something lit under our butts, a little fire, where they have now stepped up and executed. And again, it goes back to, okay, maybe that's the reason why, or maybe it's because they've played two terrible quarterbacks. We have no idea. We will find out Sunday at Kansas City.
Yeah, I think it's been key that Bruce Irvin has really kicked it into high gear lately, because you can't expect Khalil Mack to do everything, although he did have his best pass rushing game of the year against the Giants. But Bruce Irvin is one of those guys. And by the way, the interview that Fallon did with him, excellent. Keep an eye out for Raider Central. Set your DVRs. It airs Thursday night, basically all the way through the weekend, getting you prepped for Sunday's game. But to have Bruce Irvin just around the quarterback, he's so good at taking the ball away that I think he just has such a dramatic impact whenever he gets home. And Jack Del Rio has said part of the reason why the pass rushers are doing better is because the coverage is a little bit tighter. And I think that's fair, because he ripped the cornerbacks a couple weeks ago saying, we're not getting sacks because these guys on the back end can't cover.
Yeah.
Getting David Amerson back would definitely help. Yeah. But what about this kind of patchwork group that they've got from TJ Carey to Sean Smith to Dexter McDonald.
And I think that we spoke about this too, about how John Pagano has been putting some of the corners, especially like a Sean Smith, in favorable matchups, like he did against Demaryius Thomas in Denver. And then they didn't really have him on, you know, Shepard this past game either.
Right.
And so they know against like speedy receivers that he has a tough time covering. So put your players in the best position for them to succeed. Utilize their skill set and, you know, work towards their strengths, which obviously for Sean, it's against you know, bigger guys, because he is a bigger corner. And that might be an excuse because he gets paid a crap ton of money. He should be a shutdown corner and should be able to cover everybody. But it's just true. You got to put everybody in the best, you know, situations to succeed. Just like I'm not going to go and host a freaking 49ers postgame show because I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I do. I am an anchor.
People seem to think that Jimmy Garoppolo is pretty good.
I know that.
That's my takeaway.
Exactly. I'd say, oh, so the Jimmy Garoppolo era has begun. So what do you think, so-and-so? That's all I'm going to say about this. But you know what I mean? It's just kind of like putting people in the best position for them to succeed. And because they don't have, you know, the talent, right, on paper, so you have to find a way to just keep things simple and making sure everybody's on the same page and not giving up those big plays. And so I think, you know, John Pagano so far so good. Like I said, I'm really impressed with the way, though, that the corners have played the last couple of weeks without a David Emerson. Uh-huh. I'm really impressed with Dexter McDonald, even though, you know, he's been hot and cold, inconsistent. But he's come up with some big time, you know, pass breakups or stops or, you know, been tight in coverage. TJ Carey, poor TJ, I feel like he's been in the worst position because he has
everybody's best receiver now.
Exactly, exactly. But he's done an okay job, you know, for a guy who wasn't, he's supposed to be number 3-4 corner.
Right.
You know, and now he's the number one corner.
Yeah.
So, they have their hands full this weekend against Alex Smith. If they can get David Emerson back, I think that they should be fine. But the key, regardless, whether it be in rushing the passer or just in coverage, is not giving up big plays. That if you go back in that Kansas City game, I mean, those are the things. It's like on third down, big play to, you know, Tyreek Hill. Or he turns it, even if they just, like, you know, have a give it to him in the backfield. I mean, he could do everything. Tyreek Hill's a little gimmick player, kind of like Cordero Patterson. So I always said match, you know, score for score. Maybe Cordero could be our gadget player who, you know, they could have a nice little showdown on this, each side of the ball. I think that would be fun.
Yeah, and that's definitely a possibility. And it's just crazy because we've talked for so long about playoff chances.
Oh, right. I thought you meant that this interview is going like way too long.
Oh, no, we are right in the perfect window. So
final topic
is that we've kind of talked maybe pessimistically about the Raiders being able to get to a playoff position. And now here we are, 6-6. And you'll hear a lot of hype about this Kansas City Chiefs game. I think it's warranted. These are why you practice. These are why you play. Big moments on the road with a division on the line. This team hasn't won the division since 2002. It's been a long time. So in this big moment, understanding this final quarter, I mean, do you think the Raiders are mentally up for the task, up for the pressure, knowing we got to win and we're in?
Well, they've had a million chances this season.
They have.
And they have not answered the bell. So I think at this point, they're like, okay, this is really our last chance. And we have been lucky to even get these chances, period, right? Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago, we thought, nope, the division is not up for grabs. You got to just try to get into that wild card spot. And now you're like, holy cow, we, cliche, but control our own destiny. So now it's, you know, there for the taking. We have to go out and get it. I think that I just because of the, I guess, the failures of the season so far, uh-huh. I think this is the time where they need to pull out the magic from 2016, even though this is not the same team, continue to, you know, play with just some swagger and confidence. Like you have nothing to lose, even though they do have a lot to lose, but they just have to, it's just like, it's a mindset. You know, I feel like they were playing not confident at all in all their losses this season. It's like, who is this team? I don't know this team. And last year they played with so much freaking confidence. All the times they were down. And one of the games was like the Chargers game, right? I'm like, okay, they're not going to lose the game. They're going to come back. Never mind. You know, it's like all the – no, they can – never mind. They're not going to come back. And so last year you're like, oh, they're about to come back.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, oh, they're about to – it's okay. It's okay. They're just down one score. They're about to come back. So my point is they need to find that confidence within themselves. And I feel that they maybe – they have it. And I feel now that they've strung two wins together that they can maybe, you know, continue – in that positive trend and go into Kansas City and get a win. But it kind of sucks because you mentioned it before, 2012, man, that's the last time they won there. Derek has not won at Arrowhead.
Or played well.
Or really. Played well. It's loud. But the good news is, like I said, the stars are aligned. I mean, freaking 54 degrees. The day before, it's going to be 30 degrees is going to be their high. And now they're going in there the next day, 54 degrees and like sunny, basically.
Right. It's basically Oakland.
It's like, hello, here you go. We're the stars are aligned. Marcus Peters isn't playing. Come get it. So they have all the talent. The Chiefs aren't looking like the team that we thought they were going to be. So it's up to the Raiders to go in there. And Bruce Irvin told me, worry about ourselves. We're not worried about the Chiefs. We have to worry about ourselves and play the way that we know we're capable of playing. And we can go in there and get a W.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, as we said before, that is absolutely vital to get a W on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. 10 o'clock game, Raiders, Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. And Fallon, thank you so much for the time. And up next, we have Maurice Jones-Drew.
My pal. Woo-woo.
Yep, former Raiders running back, obviously Jaguars, RB, UCLA alum, Concord De La Salle alum, now NFL Network analyst, Maurice Jones-Drew. Guys, stay tuned for that. We have a special guest on this week's edition of the Raiders Insider Podcast, former Jacksonville Jaguar, former Oakland Raider, former UCLA Bruin, my school as well, former Concord De La Salle athletic star Maurice Jones-Drew. Now you can see him on the NFL Network quite often, including every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on NFL Power Rankings and every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific on NFL Players Only on NFL Network. Maurice, you are a busy guy between doing all your network stuff. And of course, you are in the LA Rams radio booth as well. How do you like this side of this next chapter, you know, and kind of give us the backstory of how you got into broadcasting? It seemed to happen pretty quickly after you hung up the cleats.
I was always interested in broadcasting and that side of it. Never really dove in it earlier in my career. But when I was in college, UCLA had us take a course on how to speak to the media. And one of the hardest things you have to do is talk in front of your peers and people that you care about. And so I had a teacher, I can't remember her name, but she made us speak in front of all your boys. And she was like, well, you know, if you really want to do this, you can do it, because, you know, you kind of can take over the room a little bit. And so it was something when I got with my agent, Adisa Bakari, we did the broadcast boot camp my second year in the league. I started with a radio and TV show in Jacksonville where I was able to make a ton of mistakes, but still, you know, kind of be graded and critiqued and all those different deals. Then ended up getting this radio show with Sirius that I had for going on 9 or 10 years. And we just stopped it because of all the crazy stuff that's been going on with the Rams and with NFL Network. But just had a ton of reps doing it. And then so once I retired, I knew I wanted to transition pretty quickly. I didn't want to be at home, because that's when you're a guy that's so structured, everything is set for you. You got to be at the facility at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock or 6:30, and your day is so structured. To have no structure kind of drives you crazy a little bit. So I had a chance to audition for Fox, NFL Network, ESPN, Showtime, HBO, a couple other places as well. And it just felt at home at NFL Network. And so things starting to grow there, and things are moving in the right direction for me.
All right. Well, I'm going to make you put on your NFL analyst hat then, and we can jump into the AFC West, which is weird right now. Three teams atop that division at 6-6, including the Raiders, Chiefs, and Chargers. And there is no small game coming up Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific between your silver and black and the rival Kansas City Chiefs. And Maurice, what has surprised you the most about how this division has shaken out? Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders, all at the top, all having gone through 4-game losing streaks, all seemingly good, talented, and also sort of flawed.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing. They've all had a ton of ups and downs. The Raiders kind of won, gotten on a little hot streak here. And it's what's great about it is every game matters at this point in that division, where there's some divisions like the NFC East where, you know, the Eagles can pretty much lose every game and they'll still make the playoffs. They're still guaranteed to make the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. So every game's important, and we know that division is really tough. The Chiefs, for some reason, they've lost their mojo. They've lost. They're not finding ways to win like they were early in the year. Now they're starting to find ways to lose, and I don't know where that's come from. I want to say they've lost the last 6 of 7, which is crazy. Obviously, the Broncos game is kind of the game that turned the Raiders on a little bit. Obviously, yeah, the scuffle with Talib and Crabtree, but I feel like that game is when they started running the ball a little bit more. That's the game where their offense started to get more in sync, as well as, you know, Amari Cooper was having a big day until he got hurt. So to win this last game without those two guys was huge, but now it's just kind of time to move on and keep going. So they just have to find ways to win. I think the Chargers are the scary team in this division. One, because they're hot, and they play every team tough, and their defense is playing lights out right now with Bosa and Ingram. I mean, those two guys have disrupted everything. So it's going to be an exciting way to go. I mean, my prediction is the AFC West Championship game is going to come down to the Raiders, Chargers in LA on New Year's Eve, which I think will be a home game for the Raiders. And, you know, the winner of that game takes it to the playoffs.
And that's exactly what the league wants, coming down the stretch in the final game with, you know, for something with all the marbles on the line. And a big reason, as you said, why the Raiders have won 2 in a row and are surging a little bit and are starting to feel themselves is that the running game is getting going. And Marshawn Lynch is starting to, one, I think they're giving him enough carries to work. And number two, he's been a lot more productive. Anything that, you know, like any take on maybe why he's surging, or just, you know, his style and why that works in the winter months?
Oh yeah, well, I think we all, I mean, that was kind of when I was in Oakland, I was hoping that I had an opportunity to run the winter months. I think that's when I ran best. Mm-hmm. No one wants to tackle you when it's cold, and so the way Marshawn's running style or my running style in the cold is something that linebackers really don't want to face. So obviously when you're going, and also that offensive line is blocking like crazy, so when you can have guys who can go forward, push guys out the way like KO, and get things going and move the line of scrimmage a little bit and allow Marshawn to kind of get his shoulder square and run hard and break tackles, and it's always gonna be tough. And so we saw that big run. I think you expect more of that to come as we start to see this season roll along. And with the running game, I think Derek Carr said it best. You know, the running game is his best friend, and that they need it. And so if you can get a running game going, the passing game will open up, and then you'll start to see the big plays that we're so accustomed to.
Yeah, and the key to kind of keeping your body right as you head towards the final stretch is, you know, it's something that you were good at. They in Jacksonville, I couldn't believe it. I was looking at your stats today. In 2011, you had 399 touches. That is mind-blowing to me. How do you keep everything together as the season goes along when you're getting so many touches? It seems to be, you know, such an important thing at a position that takes so much, so many hits.
Well, you know, one thing is you have to stay on top of your body, right? So getting massages multiple times a week, staying in the treatment room, making sure that, you know, you're getting the proper rest, putting the right things in your body. I mean, those are the big things. But then for me, it was really just, you know, I just needed to get a different type of massage. I mean, that year, I think every day I had a different type of massage. If it was just a regular soft tissue flush, or if it was someone stepping and walking on me, or if it was a special tool that they were using to flush my legs out. I mean, it seemed like every day, because your body does want to tighten up when you're touching the ball like that and you're getting hit. And so, you know, I was doing other things like getting vitamin IVs and whatever I could, taking the right supplements, whatever I could to try to stay as fresh as possible. So, I mean, you just have to go the, you know, the extra mile when you're getting touches like that. And I think Marshawn, what he's doing right now and the way they used him early on, a lot of people were upset that he wasn't touching the ball a lot, but they knew that that wasn't the time for him. Right now is the time for them. And they're in prime position. You know, when you hear Coach Del Rio talk after games, and he talks about we control our own destiny. A lot of that's going to be in Marshawn's hands.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right. And I guess one last thing on this, you know, current Raiders team. Derek Carr is probably, I mean, he's received more criticism this year than maybe at any point in his career. And it's mostly been, well, should he let plays develop downfield? Is he checking down too often? How much is, you know, are he and Todd Downing in sync? And I guess my question for you is, you know, Derek, you played with him for 1 year. What do you think ultimately, you know, like how do you think that his season has gone? Because they definitely need him to be that MVP here down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't gone to plan, but we still have to remember his back is broken.
Yeah.
Right? And so let's not forget that, you know, he's playing. And I think that shows a lot of courage and leadership to play through an injury like that. Those injuries don't heal up in 6 weeks. Those injuries don't heal up in 6 months. You know, you really have to be patient. And what he's been able to do and the way he's working is phenomenal. And so, yes, he's not having the best year, but, you know, he's making timely throws. And people have to understand, you know, you have to force a defense to do one of two things. You know, before you can throw the ball downfield, you have to make them respect that you'll check the ball down and get first downs to running backs and wide receivers and tight ends. And then that when they jump on those, that'll open up the stuff down the field. And he understands that game and how they play. And I thought Coach Downing, you know, he's growing as a play caller as well. I mean, this is his first time calling plays, I want to say, in the National Football League, yep. if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, and so right. there's going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot. That there's a lot of growing pains with that. So you add all that up, and for the Raiders to be in the position they are, I think is great. And so I think that they're gonna, be able to make some runs here. I feel like Kansas City, what's going on there? There's been Marcus Peters, who's the one guy who's been the Raider killer in the past. Mm-hmm. Him not being there is going to definitely help out the passing game, and that defense has been banked up. But I feel like the running game and then our defense has to tighten up and get after the quarterback like they did against the Giants is going to be what's going to kind of take this team to the next level.
I am curious, kind of transitioning kind of back to your broadcasting career here. Just that back when fantasy football was really getting kicked up, you know, some players are kind of like, I don't want to know if I'm on your team or not. And you sort of embraced it, really. And I think that's what your Sirius show was. About yep. as well, kind of why'd you kind of hop onto that thing? You kind of became a fantasy football icon there for a while. Why'd you kind of embrace that maybe as opposed to kind of keep it at a stiff arms distance?
To me, it's football. And at the end of the day, I have fun. I had fun playing the game at a high level. And I tried not to let people take that away from me.
Yeah.
And so because people were, you know, picking me on their team, you got to remember I was in Jacksonville. So mm-hmm. for people to be like, oh, hey, I know you, it was like, oh, okay, cool.
Right.
You know, but I think the other part was I have boys that are from the Bay Area that we would compete. And it was kind of a way for us to keep in contact as well. When I was in Florida and they're out here in the Bay Area, we'd draft teams and talk trash to each other. And so it was just kind of a way for me to keep competing and keeping being able to talk to my boys that are out here and have a reason to talk to them. So, I mean, it was an all-around favorite thing. And to be honest, you know, I think some football players take it too serious. Like, at the end of the day, you know, and don't get me wrong, I put my best foot forward, and then football is very serious to me, but we're still playing a game.
Right.
And we always have to have that, keep that in mind. I know the business side of it comes into play a little bit, and people, you know, that's frustrating because every day, you know, you feel like your job is on the line every day you step out there on the field. But we still have to remember it's still the same game that we were playing when we were 8 years old. We were having fun playing it. And so I always tried to keep that mindset. And, you know, when fantasy came about, it was like, hey, this is an opportunity to kind of interact with fans a little bit, as well as have a platform, you know, that was bigger than any market in America. And so it just ended up working out.
Yeah, and obviously you had mentioned that you had your family out here. The Bay Area roots with you are strong, and they have not left. As a matter of fact, you are just opening up a brand new gym in Martinez. There's lots of Bay Area, East Bay, especially listeners here. Maurice, kind of tell them a little bit about this power endurance gym that you have and this event that you have coming up on Friday afternoon.
Oh, yeah. So power endurance is it was something that myself and a couple other players that are from the Bay Area always talked about doing. Some of those guys are still playing. So I had the opportunity to really kind of take that and push it forward a little bit. We broke ground, I want to say, in July. And we built this gym. Now, this gym is a state-of-the-art gym. I think everyone is trained everywhere in the Bay Area. I just remember playing with the Raiders, not really having our own personal gym that we can train at. You either have to drive to Alameda or you'd have to go fly to where, you know, if you're training in Miami or training in Arizona, you have to go instead of being here with your family. So we decided to put together a gym. This gym has a 25 by 50 foot sand pit on it. It has a 50 yard turf field at the top. It has a weight room. We have batting cages, a golf simulator.
Wow.
And the reason being for this is not one for you know, professional athletes to be able to use it. Obviously, we'd like to do that as well. But for the kids in our community to have something they can call home. And I think a lot of, you know, we've been open since September. We've kind of just been growing slowly here. But as, you know, football season's winding down, a lot of sports are starting to wind down. You know, we want to make sure that everybody understands where we are. And we're right off of Highway 4 and 680. And it's a great place to come. Our trainers do a great job of getting guys ready and prepared. And, you know, everyone's certified in the right deals. And if they want to be certified, to teach the kids or the pro athletes the right way to do things. So it's an exciting thing. And then this Friday, we're lucky enough. I don't know if all your listeners watch Friday Night Tikes on Netflix, but we're lucky enough to have the San Antonio Outlaws come out to the Bay Area to play a championship game. And they reach out to us about wanting to come and check out the gym. And, you know, I think that kind of shows what football is all about at the end of the day. Football is a family. And so their coaches reached out and they want their kids to come out and see something different. And they'll be playing in San Jose, but they're going to make the drive down Friday at 3 o'clock. So we'd want everybody to come out if you like and at 3 o'clock and hang out with us and enjoy the gym and check it out and maybe a place you want to hang out for a little bit.
That's awesome. Really cool event. Definitely check it out again Friday, 3 p.m. The website where you can get more information is www.trainpe.com. Maurice, thank you so much for your time. Best of luck with the event on Friday. And of course, I guess, you know, find some time to relax. There isn't much in your schedule. And definitely, again, thank you so much for the time.
No problem. It's going to be tough to relax when all three of my teams are going to make the playoffs.
I know, right?
Right.
It's a good time in Jacksonville. Could be a good time in Oakland pretty soon. And yeah, so thank you so much. Oh, and the Rams, of course, the Rams, that must be a fun team to cover. Those guys score in bunches. So yeah, busy time as we head down through the winter, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you later.
Raiders Insider Podcast on NBC Sports California.com.